So when I was about 4 years old, my mother gave me one of my great-grandmother's quilts. It was this beautiful patchwork that had been pieced together by taking about 100 different randomly pieced and shaped and colored pieces of fabric and sewing them together. Now, almost immediately, this blanket became for me one of my most treasured possessions. For me, that small patchwork quilt was much, much more than a small lap blanket. Somehow, that quilt had the power to transform even the most mundane experiences from my childhood into these extraordinary moments of adventure. In an instant, that blanket could turn a small patch of grass into an incredibly lush rainforest. Or it could transform this patch of grass into this vast expanse of ocean. When the weather would turn, that quilt would light up my room with this incredible palette of color. On gray days, I would stare into that quilt and I would wonder about the people who had given all of these pieces of fabric for the quilt, and wonder why they had given them. That quilt opened up the world for me in a way that I didn't know before that quilt found its way to me. And as I grew older, the quilt had this ability to spark my imagination, even as an adult. When I first stumbled onto this idea of God's remnant, the quilt was the picture that came to mind. And even now, as I think about God's remnant, God shepherding the flock and pulling the flock together, the picture that I have in my mind is of this beautiful quilt. Now today, Jeremiah tells us a little bit about the remnant of God, this promise that God will pull all things and all people together as God has intended. Throughout his ministry, Jeremiah's people were in desperate need of hope. They faced a looming existential crisis that was brought on by this colossal failure of leadership, the leadership of Judah. They needed every assurance that God would not abandon them. They needed every assurance that they would not be forgotten and that everything eventually would turn out okay. Jeremiah preached comfort to this people who so longed for hope. But that's not all that Jeremiah had to say. Jeremiah also issued grave warnings and searing indictments of the leaders of his day. Stray from God's guiding principles of justice and mercy, and you, leaders, will bear the consequences. Harm God's people, and you, leaders, will bear their suffering. Protect yourself at the expense of your community, the community that you have sworn to uphold, and you, leaders, will be removed. Regardless of the propaganda that you tell yourselves, God's ways of love always prevail. Now, Jeremiah preached at a time of intense political upheaval for Judah. He began his ministry during a time of relative peace under the reformer king Josiah. But that period of stability quickly crumbled away. Successive kings whittled away Judah's soul by entering into these increasingly dubious agreements with their neighbor states. And eventually, these unholy alliances led to the election of this puppet king, Zedekiah. Before he would be removed from office, Zedekiah would oversee all of the elite from Judah being exiled to Babylon. He would oversee the fall of Judah, and then he would oversee the fall of the temple in Jerusalem. Jeremiah issued warnings to the leaders of his day, not as a threat, but as a promise and as a reminder. God's ways of love always do prevail. Jeremiah wanted everyone to know that those ways of love included practicing mercy and justice for all people. Those ways of love had a special focus on protecting the most vulnerable in society, including orphans, widows, and anyone who was seeking sanctuary within the borders of Judah. Those were God's minimum standards for human relationship and for leadership. And anything short of those minimums, well, that was just unacceptable. The same is true for us today, some 2,600 years later. Now, several times this week, I have used this passage as a filter for the news. At one level, this passage, Jeremiah, what he has to say to us, it provides some context for this mess that we seem to find ourselves in. The problems that we face today, they do bear a striking resemblance to the problems that were faced by Jeremiah and by Judah and by so many people almost 2,000 years ago. Once again, the needs of the few are pitted against the needs of the many, instead of taking care of the needs of all. And once again, political expediency has been replaced by the hard work of governing. We have been here before, and we likely will be here again. And I suppose that's both a comfort, but also a frustration as I try to square up what I read in the news with this long, long arc of human history. But then there's another way that I look at this passage. God's ways always do prevail. And oh goody, I cannot wait to watch those unfold from the safety of my kitchen while I watch on my laptop. But I'll be honest, that particular reaction within myself, that has been troubling. I have found myself lost in dangerous territory. Territory where I realize that my motives are not driven by compassion for others, but for the need to be right and the need to watch others pay anybody who doesn't disagree with me. Since when has gospel living been about being right and watching others pay? That, to me, feels like the antithesis of what it means to love God and to love our neighbors. And that certainly fails to meet this ethic, that this minimum ethic that God expects out of all of us, this minimum ethic that Jeremiah lays before us of justice and mercy for all people. Jeremiah did tell us that when that minimum ethic has failed, that there will be consequences. But it makes me wonder. I wonder if this passage from Jeremiah, we should think about it another way. I wonder if for us, it is more like a mirror that is being held up for us so that we can see into those deep places of our soul. Perhaps we are being invited into a really deep and honest self-reflection about our motives, our fears, and our hopes. What do you see when you take a look in that mirror? What image is reflected back for you? Do you see the image of somebody who wants to hold on to grudges? Or do you see someone who is humble and someone who is curious? Do you see someone who fosters hostility and someone who is scared? Or do you see an image of somebody who is open to new people and open to new experiences, especially with people who you have never encountered and who will teach you something about the richness and the depth of God's love? Can you see the image of God reflected back in that mirror? And can you be patient long enough to wait for God's image to be reflected back to you? Paul tells us that Jesus, in Jesus, all of us throughout all time are joined together in one community. Every one of us is a citizen of the household of God. Through Jesus, this dividing wall that separates us, this hostility that drives us apart from one another, all of that ceases. Through Christ, a holy temple is being built. That holy temple is a dwelling place not just for the remnant of God, but for the fullness of God, that fullness that God intends for all of creation. I wonder if we can trust each other enough to see that fullness of God in each one of us. And I wonder if we can trust God enough to know that God is, in fact, working through all of us, even when that feels impossible. Jesus knew this deep, deep trust of humanity and of God. He saw people for who they were, as beloved children of God. He found a way to piece that belovedness into this eternal patchwork of God's kingdom. He met people where they were. He fed them. He healed them. And then he sent them on their way to do the same for one another. That is what God's mercy and justice look like in practice. That is that same pattern of love that we practice when we gather around this table each Sunday for Eucharist. And that is the same pattern of love that we are called to share with one another when we go from this place out into the world. God knits us together, each one of us, in the womb. And then God pieces us together, all of us together, in love. All of creation is gathered together throughout all time into this eternal patchwork of God's kingdom. May the remnant of God that is in each one of us transform all of us into the fullness of God that God intends now and forever. Amen.